This What's Working with Cam Marston podcast is brought to you courtesy of Michelob Ultra Beer.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, let's do this thing. This is Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working. What's Working is the show about workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends. I try to find the guests that can give us insights into the trends that are shaping the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace around us. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed at the Culverhouse College of Business at the University of Alabama. Thank you so much for joining me on this evening's, this afternoon's, this morning's episode, depending on when you're listening to this, or for my podcast listeners, wherever you are, thank you for coming along with us. Sam Yates is my guest today. He is the CEO of Eagle Solar and Light. They are the largest solar power provider. That's not the right way to say it. They're the largest solar power installer company in the state of Alabama. And I've already recorded the show with Sam. So this is somewhat out of order, this introduction to the show, because I already know what he and I talk about. We just hung up, and due to the necessities of recording this thing, we had to get it recorded before I could do this introduction. You're about to hear some crazy stuff, folks. You're about to hear some stuff. If, like me, you're really sensitive to being taken advantage of, Sam, though he has to work very carefully with these organizations, lets us know that the state of Alabama pays a higher utility rate than any other state, I don't remember whether he said in the nation or in the Southeast. Additionally, the cost of recouping a solar panel addition to your home or to your business, it takes twice as long to recoup it in the state of Alabama than it does in Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, Florida, anywhere around us. And it's, I'm not going to get into what's causing it. You'll hear that for yourself. But let's just say there are governments in states adjacent to ours more friendly to their consumers than ours is to us. And I'm going to make a promise to you in segment 5, just before this show closes, about some actions I'm going to take on that thing. Anyway, when we come back from break here in a little bit, a couple more things to get through before we go into Sam. But when we come back from break, Sam Yates is going to give us an update on these solar panels, where they're made, how they work, how much more efficient they're getting, whether if you lived in a hurricane-prone portion of the state, as I do down here in Mobile, how big of an issue that is. Would you want to put a solar panel up in a hurricane-prone position anywhere? And I think the answer is going to be yes. Well, I know the answer is yes, because I was in Hawaii for some work not long ago, and nearly every building, every home out in Hawaii has solar panel on top, and Hawaii, of course, being very prone to hurricanes just like we are. Anyway, we'll get to Sam when we come back from break. Before that, a couple of updates on things that are going on that I want you to know about and that I want you to engage me on. May 26th, I've talked about this in previous episodes, but May 26th is the Succession Planning Workshop. Community Foundation of South Alabama will be the location. Their beautiful new building, their beautiful new meeting facilities. You can expect a couple of case studies by the gentlemen from Sandifer Wealth Management. Mark Salyers and Jamie Sandifer will talk about case studies of organizations they've worked with and individuals they've worked with who have transitioned out of their business and used the payment to buy their business as these individuals use that payment to fund their retirement. And Jamie and Mark are going to give you information on how that happened, how you can do it through case studies. And we decide that's probably the best way to teach this content. So Jamie and Mark will be on the dais with me. Rick Miller. Rick is a consultant here locally and works with people who are leaving their business and works with them on how to transition out, how to teach what they know. Rick also works with the heir apparent, for lack of a better term, who are coming into the business on how they need to learn the business and how to manage this transition. Rick will also be talking about, through case studies, how to go about doing that. So May 26th in the afternoon, email me directly for content, information, whatever you need. Cam, C-A-M, at cammarston.com. We'll have a name badge for you when you get there. Finally, the book that we've been working on now is about 2 weeks as this is broadcast out, 2 weeks out. Amazing the amount of detail being asked of me to complete this book. And as we get closer and closer, we'll let you know. It's called What Works, the 10 Best Ideas from the First 200 Episodes. Prior to break, though, let's give a little plug for Sandifer Wealth Management here. Planning for a long-term care event not only helps protect your financial future, but also your family's emotional peace of mind. Contact Sandifer Wealth Management and they'll help you develop a plan so you and your family feel prepared for whatever needs may arise. I watched the demise of my beloved mother over the past 3 or 4 years, and these are decisions that my family and I wish we had made sooner. It's good stuff. Sandifer Wealth Management, Jamie Sandifer, Mark Salyers. Reach out to them. Find them online, Sandifer Wealth Management. When we come back, I'll be on the line with Sam Yates, Eagle Solar and Light. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama.
A cool thing happened back in 64. That's when Keith Air Conditioning opened their doors.
In my family, turn to the experts is more than a tagline. It's a promise. Every Keith technician is an experienced AC professional, and that saves you money. Speaking of money, how about 0% financing for up to 60 months on installations of new Carrier systems? Keith and Carrier, turn to the experts.
Mobile's leading name in comfort since 1964.
License number 83731.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed at the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. I'm on with Sam Yates. He's the CEO of Eagle Solar and Light in Birmingham, Alabama. Renewable energy, natural energy resources, of course, in the news all the time these days, and really a crescendo point, let's say, considering the conflict in Ukraine right now and the energy struggles going on in Europe, and those energy struggles are showing up with energy prices here in the U.S. Sam, thank you so much for your time. I recognize how busy you are. This will be a fascinating conversation. Welcome to What's Working.
Thank you. Great to have this opportunity to share with your listeners.
So what I want to know, Sam, before we begin the particulars of your business, is how you got into this business and what exactly it is that you do. What is Eagle Solar and Light? Give me the overview, the 60,000 foot overview, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll be glad to. So my background is engineering and business. I've been in operating companies now for going on 40 years, ever since I got out of graduate school. But I'm always thinking out of the box. So in 2011, I was really thinking hot and heavy about solar and the financial viability of it. So I started my due diligence. I talked to people I knew. I talked to Alabama Power Company. I talked to people that I was referred to. I talked to substation builders. And learned a lot about it, but decided at that point, this is a decade ago, that the technology wasn't really there, the pricing wasn't really there, and it wasn't really a viable business opportunity. Fast forward 5 years later, and my daughter, who lives in Birmingham, announces that they're installing an off-grid solar system in their house. And so during that process, I was very interested and watched and listened and asked questions and observed, and it became apparent very quickly that really the systems as they're designed and installed are fairly simple. The technology is complex, but the installation's simple and it's plug and play. So I got interested again. I dusted off my due diligence from 5 years prior. I began my, talking to all of the contact or many of the contacts I had in the past and going to that next level. And virtually came up with the conclusion that everything I had come up with or studied or researched was a green light. And so with multiple green lights, I decided to get in the business. Now, being in this business requires, there are obstacles. In order to comply with local laws, you have to, you either have to be a general contractor or you have to subcontract. You have to subcontract to a subcontractor or whatever. But what we decided to do basically is go the full gamut. So we today and beginning 5-6 years ago, we are a full service, and the acronym is CNI, solar installer. CNI refers to commercial industrial. So that's our main focus. Do we do residential? Yes, we do. There is not much residential advantage in Alabama, which I'll discuss in just a moment, but in the other states in which we are active, which include Mississippi, Georgia, North Carolina, the residential is much more of a financially attractive investment for the customer. But for us, we've kind of cut our teeth on the commercial industrial sector. And here in Alabama, a couple of facts related to our regulatory disposition. So if you compare our neighboring states, and this is a metric that was released recently by the Southern Environmental Law Center, they looked at and compared the metrics on rooftop solar in neighboring states in the Southeast. And I'll share a couple of these with you.
Yeah.
Their number on the state of South Carolina, and this includes residential and commercial, is that South Carolina has some 26,000 rooftop solar installations. North Carolina has about 21,000 rooftop solar installations. The state of Alabama has 500 rooftop solar installations. And by the way, Georgia as a whole is in the top 10 nationwide for installed solar. North Carolina ranks in the number 2 or 3 slot for installed solar, just behind California and Texas, or equivalent with Texas. So it's not a factor of they have better sun or higher insulation than we do. We're all in the southeastern Sun Belt. It's all a factor of regulatory disposition. So back to Alabama. Alabama's always been kind of shunned by the solar energy because of the regulatory disposition. And when I say that, our investor-owned utility, Alabama Power, is a great company. They really are. And we respect them. We work very closely with them. Every system we install in their footprint is licensed through them if it's interconnected to the grid, meaning that, when the solar is overproducing, we're sending energy back to the grid, or when the solar is underproducing, our customer is receiving energy from the Alabama Power Company grid. But the challenge here, I guess, for solar has been that going back to 2013, the Public Service Commission passed a law, resolution, docket, whatever you want to call it, that allowed Alabama Power to put a fee on 4 rate classes for interconnected alternative energy. And the biggest hit was on solar energy, or is on solar.
Sam, let me interrupt you here real quick.
Yeah.
Why am I feeling angry about this right now? Why am I angry that Alabama's got 500 rooftop panels? Why am I angry that we have to get a license to connect to the power grid? Don't they work for us? Now, I'm not an activist, and I recognize the very precarious line that you have to walk here, but why is this Public Service Commission allowing Alabama Power to do this?
Well, I can't answer that last question, why they're allowing Alabama Power to do it. I mean, the Public Service Commission is there to represent the constituents of the state of Alabama, and we elect them, and hopefully they're looking out and doing the best job they can for us. However, I will volunteer and add that it's a very restrictive policy in regards to interconnected solar. But let me add that there are only four rate classes that this applies to, the biggest of which is residential, which is under the acronym FD, which is family dwelling for Alabama Power. And 99% of all homes in the Alabama Power Company territory are on the FD rate. So the bottom line is basically this additional fee consumes half of the savings that solar generates, i.e. doubling the payback. So for a comparative state, say Georgia, Mississippi, North Carolina, whomever, where a resident can receive and enjoy a full payback in 8 to 10 years, in this state, it's twice that. It's 16 to 20 years. So that's why we see such a dearth of residential solar.
And you don't know why that is. You don't know why it's double here in Alabama. It's a decision of the Public Service Commission, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. And yeah, that's correct.
And I, recognizing the precarious situation you're in, you do not care to hypothesize why that is.
Well, you know, and then you ask the question about why do we have to license a system with Alabama Power? That is a universal truth with every utility, municipality, or co-op that we deal with. If it's interconnected solar, they all have to be licensed. So it's not out of the ordinary. It's a pretty simple process in general. But it's a process you have to go through. So, you know, there are various steps to that. But let me add, getting back to the opportunities here in Alabama. So yeah. Not disregarding residential, let's talk about commercial, industrial, or anything other than residential. We have, and most of our state residents don't realize this, but we have the highest utility rates in the Southeast. So let me give you a comparison. So for a medium-sized commercial business in this state, they're going to pay anywhere from maybe a low of 11 cents a kilowatt hour up to greater than 15 cents a kilowatt hour. As comparison, for our customers in North Carolina, they're paying between 5 and 7 cents a kilowatt hour. So for that reason, the opportunity for solar, commercial solar, is so much greater in Alabama because we're offsetting such a higher cost of energy and driving a much shorter payback and a greater financial return.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes complete sense. I'm still angry, and it's we can't get a lottery passed. We got the most expensive utilities in the Southeast. All right. This is about business trends, not about Cam Marston's emotions. Sam, we're coming up on break. And when we come back from break, I want to talk to you about solar panels. It's my understanding that the panels that were manufactured for the longest time in China were losing quality, and they were going to try to begin manufacturing solar panels in the U.S. that could essentially gather more energy from one beam of sunlight. I don't know these measurements. So when we get back, let's talk about the panels, the advances in the panels, where you get them, how difficult it is to install them and things of that nature. Because goodness knows there's business influencers out there that are saying, I had no idea the opportunity that was in front of me. And I want them to learn a little bit about the technology that they may consider going onto their roof. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed at the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. I'm on the line with Sam Yates, the CEO of Eagle Solar and Light, based in Birmingham, Alabama. They've got operations. Sam, I think I saw you. I know you have something in North Carolina, but is it Georgia as well?
No, we're licensed contractors in Georgia. We have offices in Asheville and Durham, North Carolina.
Perfect. We'll be right back.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Sam Yates is the CEO of Eagle Solar Power and Light. He's on the line with me. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. Sam, prior to the break, we were talking about solar panels. Give me an update on the solar panel technology, the China influence, where you're getting yours, anything like that.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So The technology continues to improve, and it will continue to improve. And let me give you a reference. By comparison, when I started the business in 2016, generally on the high end of what was available in terms of energy density was about a 300-watt solar module. Today, there are 500-watt solar modules that are commercially available. So we moved that far in about 6 years. The other component or aspect of solar modules is what they call light-induced degradation. Solar modules will degrade by a certain percentage annually over the life of the module. And by the way, the modules today, the Tier 1 solar modules or solar panels, same thing that we procure and sell, they have a warranty of 25 years. But that light-induced degradation is increasing, or that performance is increasing where the degradation is decreasing. So we're seeing some significant technological improvements. Now, on a cost basis or price basis, the solar modules, solar panels have dropped on average about 6% per annum for the last decade. And this past year, that has reversed for many reasons. One, COVID, two, logistics, three, freight, four, the import duties that were imposed by our U.S. government. But today, where we get solar modules, we have many choices. We have the largest domestic manufacturing facility just outside Rome, Georgia, that's owned and operated by Hanwha. Hanwha is a South Korean company. So we procure many of our modules directly from that facility. LG had a facility or has one in Huntsville, Alabama. They just announced they were getting out of the solar module business for various and sundry reasons. We have purchased from them. Outside of that, we can purchase from and do purchase from Canada, South Korea, Singapore, one of the largest global manufacturers is headquartered in Singapore by the name of REC. They have just announced a gigafactory in the United States, the location yet to be announced, but it'll be the largest solar panel producer in this country. And obviously, there are some great European sources as well. But we've seen just in the last two quarters about a 15% increase in solar panel cost or pricing.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere on everything. I had a guest on not long ago. She was talking about the price of nitrogen and its influence in the price of fertilizer. It's going on everywhere. And logistics being a big part of her challenge, as well as this Ukraine stuff as well. It's really interesting. So tell me this, Sam, I've seen many solar panels. If I were to walk up to one, how big is a standard solar panel and how much does it weigh? Could I hold it?
You can hold it. So basically, a standard solar panel measures approximately 30 inches wide by 60 inches tall. And there are various configurations. Some are larger, some are heavier. But on average, they're going to weigh 50 to 60 pounds. So, yes, you can hold one. And, yes, I have climbed up a ladder with one on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And put it on a roof. Not something you want to do day in, day out. But, no. Yeah, they're manageable.
And if I were purchasing one for residential versus one for commercial, is it a different model?
There are different models. So basically for commercial, depending on the roof configuration and how we can engineer it, there are basically 72 cell modules that are a little bit larger. They run about 10 inches longer and a little bit heavier. And then for residential, typically we'll go with a 60 cell module that measures basically that 30 inches by 60 inches and weighs 50 pounds.
Who is your perfect customer for what you guys do? You said residential, certainly in the state of Alabama, is not something my interpretation of your comments, not something that you're going to put a lot of marketing dollars behind, but who is your typical customer? Who finds you and says, hey, we're curious about this?
Well, yeah, great question, Cam. And we are, because of the dearth of solar penetration in this state, we're basically market makers. So our mission has been to get out, make contact, and educate customers. Whenever you talk about solar, people don't know much about it, but they are highly, highly interested because you don't see much of it in the state. So that leads to a long conversation about the exceptional financial returns, particularly for commercial solar, the ESG benefits, benefits for avoiding rising utility inflation costs, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, your question about the ideal customer, and that would be a medium to large commercial account. wherein they can monetize the great tax benefits available to taxpaying business customers and enjoy the significant savings and the financial return, not to mention the environmental benefits for those companies that have sustainability missions and strategies. And most companies and individuals actually do today. You know, that's a big driver. So it's not always about financials. It's not always about environmental. Sometimes it's one or the other, but in many cases it's both.
I was on a call earlier today talking about, a webinar that I was delivering for a New York City bank, and that ESG component is becoming a great recruiting tool and of the next generation. How are they going to get them? They have to have ESG statements. They have to have proof of that in an employee marketplace that's becoming very valuable. Now, let me go back to the tax benefits real quick. Are there tax benefits to a residential solar installation? If I wanted to put some of these things on my roof, would I be able to get tax benefits from that?
Yes, there are. So let me segregate that. So for residential, every residential install has access to the federal investment tax credit, assuming you have tax liabilities. And that federal investment tax credit is 26% of the system installed cost. So if you install a system that's $10,000, then you'll get a credit for 26% of that, or $2,600 that you will write off of your tax liability. And you can actually carry that forward for up to 15 years if you can't use it all in the first year.
How long does that take now? You told me, if I were in Alabama installing solar, it takes twice as long to recoup my investment than it would in a neighboring state. How does that tax credit influence recouping that investment?
Well, the tax credit is equal in both cases. I'm just comparing the general return for residential after the tax credit in a neighboring state, which is 8 to 10 years, versus twice that in our state under our investor-owned utility.
Yeah. So your phone rings and it's a commercial owner, influencer, manager, something like that. Are there organizations or areas or something that I assume you have to scout the location? Are there things that make a location not good for solar panels?
Well, yes, there are things. And one of the comments I didn't complete is that for commercial, in addition to the federal investment tax credit, they also get to take advantage for the 1 year bonus depreciation. They can depreciate the entire system cost in 1 year. And if you look at if you're financially and accounting acute, if you look at the present value of those benefits for commercial, they account to about 50% of these installed system costs. So they're in, that really helps drive the great financial returns. Now, back to your question about some locations not being suitable. Yes, first of all, we have to have a roof that can structurally support the solar, which is not significant, the weight of the solar. It's between 3 and 5 pounds per square foot, which is, you know, dead load, which is not big, but, you know, some roofs, particularly if they're pre-engineered buildings, you know, they're built right to that minimum IPC standard, and they don't qualify. The second thing solar really doesn't like is shade.
Of course, yeah.
If there are significant shading opportunities, then we typically advise a customer to find another location. You know, we're not going to tell you to cut trees down because that's just not what we do, but another location perhaps. And then the third thing is that we get the highest production, energy production, if we can face our solar modules generally on a south-facing azimuth. So, you know, we generally need south or maybe west, maybe east or southeasterly or southwesterly facing surfaces to mount the solar module, or flat surfaces. But a north facing roof hip is not a good location.
So I'm going to build a big warehouse of some sort, and I'm thinking solar in the back of my mind. I'm going to build it on an east west axis so that the roof, if it has a pitch, faces the south versus, well, I guess it really doesn't matter, does it? As long as they can angle them towards the south, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and that's a good approach. A better approach is to build your warehouse with a flat roof, because we have a ballast weighted, non-penetrating solar system that sits right on top of the flat roof membrane, and it's the lowest cost of install as compared to a hip roof, and you can blanket the entire roof. Less the coated setbacks from the edge of the roof. And by the way, the coated setbacks require a 4-foot setback, so it's not significant.
I want to, real quick, we're coming up to break. How many people are building buildings today with solar in mind versus retrofitting the buildings to accept solar?
I'd say 99% are retrofitting. Maybe 1% are thinking about solar while they're building. Yep. And a good example, if you got it just a second, is the new USGS building that was just contracted over in Tuscaloosa. They're moving out of an old facility in Stennis, Mississippi. They contracted with Brassville Gorrie to build a 100,000 square foot new facility in Tuscaloosa, modeled it or designed it for solar, contracted it or bid it for solar. We're the winning bid for the solar subcontractor on that facility, which is awesome. But you don't see that much these days.
Fascinating. I can tell we're not going to have enough time in this interview. We have one more segment. Sam, when we come back, I want to hear about your company, what's your goals for it, things of that nature. We're listening to Great. What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. On the line, Sam Yates, CEO, Eagle Solar and Light. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama.
A cool thing happened back in 64. That's when Keith Air Conditioning opened their doors. And ever since then, they've earned your family's trust. Fixing your AC when it bites the dust.
It's hotter than hot season, and for three generations, Keith has earned your trust during the hottest time of the year. Every Keith technician is an expert, because when the heat's the worst, you need the best. So turn to the two names you can count on, Keith and Carrier.
Mobile's leading name in comfort since 1964.
License number 83731.
Customer service never goes out of style. In fact, I think it's safe to say that customer service is more valuable and more important now more than ever. Hi, this is Cam Marston. One thing that my over 200 episodes of What's Working has taught me is how important customer service is to building and maintaining a thriving business. It's the growing need for customer service that's led me to partner with one of the state's leading customer service trainers to create our program called Delivering 5-Star Customer Service. Your team will get one 90-minute training session per month for 6 consecutive months. Each session builds on the skills learned the previous month, allowing your customer-facing teams to practice before moving on to the next lesson. And the 6 lessons address everything from appearance to electronic communications to conflict resolution to maintaining a service mindset. Our program travels and is delivered in person at your workplace, nothing virtual. You simply can't practice the level of the skills this course teaches virtually. For more information, email me, cam@cammarston.com, and let's schedule a time to talk. Remember, you have less to fear from outside competition than you do from discourtesy and bad service from inside your own company. Again, email me, cam@cammarston.com, and let's talk about your business. Listening to What's Working, I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed in the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. On the line with Sam Yates, CEO, the largest solar company in the state of Alabama, Eagle Solar and Light. Sam, your company is now how many years old since you rebirthed it after watching your daughter go through her solar transition on her home?
Thanks, Cam. Yeah, we turned 6 years old actually this week. So been in business 6 years.
Okay. And what is the goal for the business? Where do you see this going? The opportunity in the state of Alabama seems to be very rich, considering there's only 500 buildings in our state that have solar access to them. What do you see the business doing?
Well, we're very excited about being in this business. It's a very this market segment and the technology today is a great place to be. And did I forecast this 6 years ago? No, really didn't. But you know, given the ESG wave and the concern or the focus on environmentalism and sustainability and you know leaving this earth a better place for our children, grandchildren, and so forth, it's a great place to be. So we are. Excited about being in the segment. We want to try to continue to grow our capability, our reach, so that we can be a large provider in terms of or actually be a significant opportunity for those that are moving towards sustainable energy in the future. And you know, we're licensed across 4 southeastern states, soon to be 5 southeastern states. The activity we have in North Carolina, which, as I mentioned earlier, is number 2 or 3 in the nation for installed solar, is just mind-boggling. There are municipalities all over the state that have renewed sustainability goals, for example, of being 100% sustainable by the year 2030, a municipality. Now, can that happen? Nah, probably not. Could they reach 10 or 15% in terms of sustainable energy? Yeah, they can. But they are releasing RFQs and talking about, you know, converting all kind of municipal buildings, fire stations, police stations, water treatment plants, and so forth and so on at a just a frantic rate, which is very exciting. Now, do we see that in Alabama? No, not so much. I mean, we've got one public building in downtown Birmingham that has solar on it, and that belongs to the Housing Authority of the Birmingham District. And they received, this is Freedom Manor, it's right there by City Hall. They received a grant to refit the entire building and install solar. We're glad to have that, but you know, that trend has not gotten to Alabama yet. But for us as a company, you know, we're looking to expand our resources, expand our capability, and be a full service to a wide variety of companies and municipalities and not-for-profits across the entire Southeast. And one of the things I didn't mention earlier on your show, I don't think, is that, you know, we have an active tax equity or solar leasing strategy, and we were actually licensed by the North Carolina Utilities Commission when they passed legislation 4 years ago to legalize solar leasing as the first company to be legally licensed to lease solar. And we hold numerous installations on our docket, probably over 25 leases that we manage right now.
So, wait a minute. Let me stop you there. I want to make sure I understand this. If I own a commercial building and let's in North Carolina, I don't have to buy the solar panels from you. I can lease them from you. Is that what I understand?
That you're exactly right.
Okay.
Now, as a commercial building, commercial owner, does it make more sense to lease than buy? Probably not from a financial return perspective, but for not-for-profit, it has no tax monetization capability. In not-for-profits include municipalities and churches and schools, and you know the list goes on and on. It's a great opportunity. So we want to expand that capability and that access to, you know, as big a reach as we can.
So, Sam, in my mind, I'm thinking Baldwin County, Alabama, right out on the Gulf Shores, the Gulf Coast. A wonderful opportunity for solar on top of these big high rises. And I don't know how much power they could generate, but it would seem to be a no-brainer. Are the panels, can they receive wind damage? Do they have to be struck by something to be damaged?
Panels can receive wind damage. The panels are always designed to whatever the local authority IBC wind speed requirement is. So on the coast, it's going to be about 150 mile an hour engineering requirement for the panels. Where we are in Birmingham, it's 110 miles an hour. Can an F4 tornado take out a building and solar panels? Yes.
Yeah.
And they can be damaged? Yes, but they're pretty resilient.
They are resilient. So I was going to ask you another question about your work, your company. Everybody I speak to today is hiring. What is the talent that you can't get enough of? Is it engineers? Is it installers? Is it financial people to help you with these lease arrangements?
Yeah, great question. So really for us right now, it's installers. And our company disposition is, you know, we've got one where people are very, very important. And so, you know, we're very focused on our onboarding and ensuring that all of our associates are part of the team and they understand the big picture and they have opportunities. But really for us, the biggest challenge is for our installers. And we're growing at such a rapid rate that, you know, we've got openings across three different install teams and in two different states for probably 5 to 10 openings today. In fact, we're even having to outsource some of our labor to other companies that can help us. But it's the installers, it's young people, and they're very interested in, you know, it's not difficult work, but you need someone who's interested, motivated, and focused. And that's not always easy to find.
Heck, Sam, everybody that's listening right now wants people that are interested, motivated, and focused. Heck, even
exactly.
I do. And so your request is not by any means unique to your industry, but I'm guessing it can be hot work, huh?
It can be hot work.
You're on the roof. It's like a roofer. You're climbing up with a heavy thing, somehow getting it to the top, and then working in that blazing sun, unobstructed sunlight, to install these things. I suspect your challenge is much like that of a roofer or even a lawn care person, trying to find somebody that's willing and able to work in the hot sun.
Well, what is? But we use lifts and lulls to lift all the equipment up to the roof, so we're not necessarily carrying it up on our backs. And on installations in the summer, we install the shading tents, and we have a regiment where we have mandate that all of our associates have breaks, take water breaks.
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, minimize that risk.
Is there a designation required to become a solar installer? Is there a special designation needed?
Not for a solar installer. The kind of the governing halo for certification is called NABCEP, and that acronym stands for the North American Board for Certified Energy Practitioners. North American Board Certified Energy Practitioners, and we have various certifications in our company. There are 3 or 4 different levels. There are very few in the state of Alabama that have actually the premier level, which is called the installer certification. I think there might be 4 or 5 in the state of Alabama. In neighboring states, for example, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, there are hundreds that have attained this. So just a, you know, comparison of the difference in the depth of the installation companies like us in neighboring states.
I saw today for the first time predictions in about 12 to 18 months of a recession. This is by Deutsche Bank. And I was speaking to an economist on this show last week who says that's not going to happen. However, this first major bank came out and said we predict a recession in 12 to 18 months. Are you recession proof?
No, we're not recession proof. No, we're not. We're seeing significant cost increases, particularly, I mean, the inflation factor is what's concerning. On the electrical side, wire, aluminum, copper, disconnects, switches, prices have doubled in the last 2 quarters. And availability in some cases for the bigger equipment has become scarce. So that's going to be a factor for us to consider, or everybody in our industry. Are we recession proof? No. I mean, obviously, this is, you know, what we sell is a significant capital expenditure.
Yeah.
And, you know, when a recession happens, you know, those get thought through pretty carefully.
Yeah. One last question, Sam, before we wrap this up. It's Sunday morning. It's 10 a.m. You're not working. What are you doing? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, yeah, thank you. So I have kind of formed a pact with myself and my family where I turn off electronics for Saturday and Sunday, and I focus on other things, whether it be family or interest or hobbies or what have you. For me, it used to be a 24/7 job, and you can't do that forever without burning out. We have, you know, really started a unique company, particularly for this state, and we're growing at a rapid rate, and we've got some great associates that work for us, and we'll continue to have more and more. But yeah, at some point in time, you got to learn how to delegate properly so you can grow, and you just have to turn off the technology.
What's your hobby? Do you collect anything? Do you play golf? Do you collect anything? Are you an outdoorsman? Tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, probably a little bit of an outdoorsman. Plus, you know, I do enjoy golf. I do enjoy tennis. I do enjoy pickleball, and I enjoy my family. And then, you know, outside of that, the few vacations we take, that's really consumes most of it.
You sound like everybody listening, man. You're one of us. I'm grateful to have talked to you. All right. So someone's saying, hey, I need to speak to you. How do they find you, Sam?
Yeah. So go to our website, www.eaglesolarandlight.com. Or you can certainly give us a call. Our phone number is 205-202-2208.
Eagle Solar and Light. I'm looking at it on my website right now, folks, on my browser. It's not the ampersand. It's A-N-D, EagleSolarAndLight.com. Sam,
correct.
Wish you the best of luck. I can't wait to see more solar coming across the state of Alabama, and I know you'll be the root of it all. Great to meet you.
Okay. Thanks for your enthusiasm, Cam. This is great. Thanks.
We'll be back after break with final comments. I'm Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business, housed at the University of Alabama.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, this is Charles Taylor with Natural Resource Consultants, and when I'm not crawling through the Alabama piney woods in the summer heat or driving down a dirt road in rural Alabama, I'm listening to What's Working with Cam Marston. Now back to the show.
What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business, housed at the University of Alabama. We're back. I'm Cam Marston. Big thank you to Sam Yates. I can tell you this, the man is busy. The attempts that I had to get him on the calendar were numerous, and I'm, you know, you'd rather have a busy guy talking about his business than somebody that's not busy talking about their business, because you wonder if their business is worth talking about if they're not busy, if that makes any sense. But Sam, being as busy as he is, and we can all agree after hearing those comments, the man is a comprehensive, has comprehensive knowledge of it. I'm grateful that he is in the state of Alabama. I still can't figure out, with the unfriendly environment of the state, why he chooses to be here, but indeed am greatly grateful for him being here. Greatly grateful, if that makes any sense. So here's my commitment to you. Now, I'm not an activist and I'm not an environmentalist, but when I find out we in our great state are being mistreated to a, it sounds like, okay, sounds like we're being mistreated to a greater extent than the states that surround us in both the amount we pay in utilities, as well as the fact that it takes twice the amount of time here in the state of Alabama to recoup your investment on any solar additions you may make. It takes twice the amount of time here in Alabama than it does in any of the states that surround us. Why is there such a prohibitive attitude against this that we can't at least be similar to our neighbors to the west in Mississippi, or our neighbors to the east, which frankly is more progressive than us, Georgia? And what is the answer? Well, I have a hunch, and here's my commitment. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to try to get some people with the Public Service Commission on this show who I can say, give me the logic behind this. Why are our utility rates twice as much? I want a good explanation. Why is it takes twice as long to pay off the solar? I want a good explanation. Now, I have a hunch, and it's a negative hunch. It's not the way I like to see the world. But I've been around long enough, and I know the organizations that are involved in this. I've seen their reputations play out in public, and I have a hunch. And I'm going to promise that I will pursue it to the best of my ability and report back to you what it is that I'm learning out there. And it's just the dark side of our world, folks. And that's all it is. It's the dark side of the world. But stay tuned, and I'll do my best to tell you what's going on. That'll wrap us up for the week. I appreciate everybody sticking with us here. The show continues to get more and more interesting to me, at least. Do a couple things for me. Find me on your social media stuff. By the way, here's who you are. You're likely a 45-year-old or older. More 75% of you listening are male. I mean, 75% of the listeners are male. It doesn't mean you're three-quarter male and one-quarter female. I think you know what I'm saying. And you're in an influencer position in your business. That's who we're courting. Find me on social media. Though you're not the target, the main social media consumers, find me anyway. Look for me, Cam Marston, or Cam Marston, the numeral one. and you can learn about our shows. Email me directly, cam@cammarston.com. Let me know what you think. You're listening to What's Working, that's produced by John Thompson with Ion Digital and brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culverhouse College of Business at the University of Alabama. We'll have another show next week.